Saturday Night Live with Tracy Morgan is over, but we're just getting started here on the SNL recap on post-show recaps. And now here are the two guys with one pair of underwear on the radiator. I'm Rob Cisterna. He's Rich Tackenberg. Rich, how are you?
Pass.
Yes.
I'm good. Great to be here.
Great to talk to you. We're doing this later in the day than we normally do. It's about 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm sorry, Pacific. And so it's a wild weekend. We had a busy Sunday, so we're recording the show a little bit later. We've got a good crowd here live here on blab.im to talk about this, talk about the Tracy Morgan episode from this weekend. Everybody was buzzing about it on social media today. Seems like we're going to have a lot of fun stuff to talk about, but we'll go through it sketch by sketch. Plus, we'll talk to James Keese later on to talk about the Demi Lovato part of the show tonight. So very fun stuff to get to before we have a hiatus on the SNL podcast, before we get to Donald Trump hosting in a couple of weeks. What could be more surreal than that?
Woo!
Rich, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. You know, taking a look real quick, I'm interested in what you thought. I thought overall this episode, it was interesting that for the most part, it was exactly what we thought we were going to get, but I just had a lot of fun getting it. I thought Tracy was doing better than we could have thought. And yet at the same token, he really didn't do much of the heavy lifting tonight. I was okay with that. We had some fun cameos, many of which we predicted. We had some sketches that we predicted. So not a lot of surprises given the circumstances. But overall, with a couple of misses, overall, I thought a really fun episode.
Yeah, well, let's just jump right into what's going on here with this first sketch, which was the Democratic debate. And to me, I really felt like this was SNL at its finest.
Oh, yeah, this was fantastic. Although, as old fans of our podcast know, there is the rich rule of cameos,
yes,
which is... effectively, it's one and done. But to be clear, if you're going to do more than one cameo, the cameo that requires surprise can't be second. So Alec Baldwin was very funny in this, but he shouldn't have been in it because it completely tipped off what's going to come in the monologue. So that drove me a little crazy. We'll talk about that when it comes. But overall, talk about star power. I just thought he was great. And just, I did not in any way see Larry David showing up, which was just super, super fun.
Yeah. Let's just get into the Larry David thing because it was fantastic.
Yeah.
Because after the Democratic debate on earlier last week, I think it was, Tuesday night, Wednesday night last week, that when I, it must have been Tuesday night because I recorded the Seinfeld podcast this past Wednesday, and Akiva Winokur, who's my co-host on the Seinfeld podcast, when we did our Seinfeld news, is a Seinfeld podcast spoiler, when we do our weekly Seinfeld news segment, he talked about how a lot of people were saying that Bernie Sanders sounds exactly like Larry David doing George Costanza. And I was seeing like memes on the internet of Bernie Sanders just saying like calzone, where people had been saying about that. So what do you think the genesis was of Larry David ultimately playing Bernie Sanders after that debate on Tuesday night?
I think it was very reminiscent of Tina Fey getting, you know, asked to come back to do Sarah Palin a few years ago. You know, Larry had been in New York doing a play. I mean, the play ended a few months ago, but I'm imagining it was just the perfect, oh my God, you got to come do this. And, you know, as most people may or may not remember, Larry David was a writer on SNL 31 years ago, but he was a writer on SNL for a year. And he had been, in the sketch comedy show Fridays, even earlier than that. So he's no stranger to doing and writing sketch comedy. So I think this was, you know, probably James Downey gives him a call, who he's known for 30 years, and says, you got to come and do this. And I think he was totally up for it. It was just such a fun little piece. And the thing that I liked about it is Larry David seemed totally having fun with it. He seemed like he was just having a ball, and that made it so much fun.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. In terms of then, we had, as you mentioned, Alec Baldwin as Jim Webb. What do you think the genesis of that was? Was it just like Alec Baldwin was like, I can nail this guy? Because it seemed like the Jim Webb was not such a great impression that Alec Baldwin was doing it, that you to bring in, if they were going to do that 30 Rock sketch or that parody, it did seem like they tipped it a little bit with having Alec Baldwin there. What do you think the thought process was with Alec Baldwin in the cold open?
Oh, I totally agree with you. It completely tipped that something bigger was coming. Not that we didn't all suspect it, but it completely tipped it. I think this is one of those where this absolutely could have been Beck Bennett. There's no you didn't need Alec Baldwin, but I think that when you're SNL and you want ratings, a big hypey cold open that's got people tweeting and buzzing and talking, and then it can be downloaded and watched on YouTube a million times or Hulu, whatever. I think that they probably didn't plan on it. Baldwin was coming. Obviously, they love Baldwin. I suspect that they pitched it to him instead of him volunteering for it. And he was just like, sure, I'll do that. That sounds great. I wouldn't have, but he was great doing it.
Yeah. Is there anything from, again, this is the first time that we see Hillary Clinton after she appeared on the show with, right. We didn't see Hillary last week, right?
Correct. So, yeah.
Is there anything now the post Hillary post the cameo from Hillary?
No, I don't think so. I mean, the only thing that I would point out, which is a little different, we'll end up talking about this later, is I felt like in both this sketch and the show in general, especially Weekend Update, it was interesting that I don't remember a single Donald Trump joke, which I think has everything to do with who's hosting the next episode. That sort of stood out to me a little bit more. But no, this Hillary, I thought, continued to be fun. I loved how she started out by saying, I think you're going to like the Hillary that we have created for this evening. And a lot of the jokes were really fun. Her screaming into tiny jars was very funny. So a lot of it I just thought was really good. And I loved Kate and Larry together doing the cold open, which made it really fun for me.
The next time we see Bernie Sanders on Saturday Night Live, is it Larry David again?
I mean, the only thing I don't know is where Larry David is living these days, because he's was a longtime L.A. guy, but was in New York for the play. So I think that if he's in New York,
winter is coming, in the north.
Yeah, I think if he lived there, I could absolutely see the Tina Fey of him showing up, twice, three times before Bernie Sanders is eliminated from the primary or whatever. So, I think we could see him again.
Okay. I hope so. I really do. I think that would be like lightning in a bottle if they could try to, do this a couple more times. I ultimately just don't know, we know about the fake news. I don't know how closely you're following the politics of all this. I mean, is Bernie Sanders going to be a player in all this for months and months to come?
I mean, I am not the person to ask, but my understanding is that he's absolutely doing well enough that he will be a player up until the primary convention. And then at that point, I assume that he goes away. So, if, as Larry David said in the cold open, if Bernie Sanders becomes the vice presidential nominee, that could be interesting. But the little I know about politics, that seems highly unlikely.
Yeah. And outside of debates, I don't know how many times there's going to be sort of things that Bernie Sanders is doing that are going to be SNL sketch worthy, but I will keep my fingers crossed that this happened. Any issues with Live from New York?
No, I thought it was really, Larry David doing it with Kate McKinnon was fantastic. So loved going into it that way.
Okay. So we get into our monologue and here comes Tracy Morgan, who did sort of like the Willy Wonka thing where he comes out and people want, he wants you to think that he is like sort of not with all of his faculties, and then says, psych, just kidding.
Yeah, I don't think that the difference was as dramatic as Tracy thought it was going to be. So I loved it, but I was also a little like, okay, all right. Oh, okay, got it. Okay, yeah. So, but love that he had fun with himself. I loved him talking about, how he didn't, he was not at full brain capacity, that he never was. Had fun having fun with himself.
So Tracy mentioned that it has reminded him of a 30 Rock episode from 2012. And while it was great to see everybody back to recreate this 30 Rock episode, did you find the 30 Rock episode to be funny?
No, I mean, I mean, this is what says everything to me. I laughed the hardest when during one of the speeches, the smash lower third showed up and it was them dancing. That made me laugh hilariously. No, I don't. And I think we lost the surprise. I thought it was a little distracting for me. They were doing the handheld camera in a very overdone way, I think, as a joke, but it wasn't enough that we knew it was a joke. So I didn't think anything within this was, I mean, it was definitely cute, but it was more cute than anything else.
Yeah, I didn't think that there were any big laughs that went along the way other than the smash lower thirds that were popping back up.
Yes, and then the animal practice, which was a great call back to 2012. So that was really sort of the extent of it.
Yeah. Anything else to discuss from the monologue?
No, it was fun that they all came out. Sort of appreciated that. I thought it was probably, I would say, more of a sentimental opening to see Tina Fey back, Alec Baldwin, you know, Jack McBrayer, which I thought was great. And they even made a point where Tina's like, I just want to say, Tracy, and this is not a joke, we're all so happy that you're back and you're able to make people. I was like, okay, well, we're not going for comedy. We're going for sentimental. I'm in. I get it. I love it. Great, great start.
Yeah. All right. So then we go to our first live sketch, which was the return of the Family Feud, which I normally am very excited to see. But this time, not Celebrity Family Feud. We go with regular Family Feud. And I thought that this was an interesting approach to this, where it wasn't even making fun of Family Feud. It was sort of like this interesting setup where there was a divorced family and the dad is playing against the family that he left.
Yeah, I really like this. I looking a little bit online, I think I was a little bit alone, but I really liked such a great premise of a sketch. It was such a different thing. And how often do you ever hear me say this? Keenan absolutely was the brilliant anchor of the sketch. His Steve Harvey was such a fun piece to this. So I don't know that it was the funniest laugh out loud jokes, but I thought it was a great premise, and it kept sort of turning and turning. And then the daughter's a stripper, and then he won't wear underwear, and just a lot of funny little sides. But I thought Keenan kept bringing it home, even when Tracy Morgan said the heart wants what the heart wants. And I thought Keenan's throwaway of just that ain't the heart. Playa, that just made me laugh so hard. So I really applaud them for this. Was it the funniest? Maybe not, but I thought this was a great, well written, executed, great idea. I really loved it a lot.
And so I really liked the idea for this. I really loved the concept. And, you know, they really had me like a minute or two into this, like, all right, I can't wait to see where this goes. But I felt like it never really got to a really insane level. You know, I did think that the stuff with Sashir being the stripper, I thought that that was pretty wacky and funny. And some of the stuff about Tracy Morgan, about how, you know, he could be cooking with some more clothes on and stuff like that. It definitely made me laugh. But I really didn't feel like it reached a potential that I was hoping it was going to get to.
I would agree with that. I don't think there was anything in this that sort of got to a hilarious point. But for me, it was just a solid fun. And again, I think that you're in a situation where it's very written specifically that Tracy Morgan's got some very funny lines, but they're very clearly not anchoring the sketch around his character. So he was more sort of reacting than being sort of a central piece to that. It really was a Leslie Jones sketch more than anything else. So, but I would say on second viewing, I appreciate it even more, just sort of for what it was.
Yeah. I just was hoping it would build more, where it was like, okay, like it started off with like a name something you forget and, you know, your family. I was like, okay. And then I really was hoping to see it just like escalate, but they really just stayed talking about the same thing. And so, it was interesting and fun, but yeah. I think we're saying the same thing, but you appreciated it probably more than I did.
Yeah, I think so. I had a little more fun enjoying it. And again, the fact that I'm saying how much I liked Keenan is really where is this coming from? But he just, every little piece of Keenan in this was really funny to me.
All right, Rich, it's the return of Brian Fellows. This was the one that we all saw coming, and Brian Fellows is back. First of all, were you a big Brian Fellows fan?
No, I've never been a big Brian Fellows fan. I mean, it was that era of the Californians for me. It was just I mean, I enjoy watching Tracy just get dumb, and some of the lines are always funny, and clearly some of the lines in this were always funny.
For the record, I believe Jared's room was the Californians of that era.
I liked Jared's room. That never bothered me. This is always just like, oh, okay. And by the way, the thing that's so bizarre to me, and this has been like this since when he started doing this in the 90s, the character's name, according to the graphic and the voiceover of the sketch, is Brian Fellow. And yet Tracy Morgan always says, I'm Brian Fellows. What? Like, is this meta comedy, or is Tracy not paying attention to the sketch that he probably helped write and has been doing for a decade? It's so bizarre to me. So, all of that said, of course you're going to do Brian Fellows, and there's some very funny lines, and everyone I think was just very game, whether it was Pete Davidson or A.D. Bryant, to just be in a scene with Tracy Morgan and have fun.
Now, were they overly ambitious to bring in a llama?
I think that might have been a little bit much. I think the camel may have
I have llama on their brain.
That may have been a little bit much, although got the biggest laugh of the whole sketch when the llama's ass is blocking the camera and the bit, which was just very funny.
Yeah, it seemed like that they could not control where the camel was standing, and it just ruined several of the shots.
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of like the sort of laughing, you know, at that point. It's just, hey, it's live TV. What are we doing? Very fun.
Yeah. So the beaver with an attitude smokes cigarettes and reminds Brian Fellows of his dad.
Right.
Did you like that direction for Brian Fellows' character?
You know, there's always some weirdness with Brian Fellows and what's going on in his life. So, I did like the idea that he thinks beavers smoke because his dad was a builder and he smoked. That I thought was a very funny connection. All just silly. It's all throwaway to watch Tracy Morgan be at 11 for an entire sketch. And to that extent, it works. I was like, okay, here it is. It's Brian Fellows. Let's laugh. Let's titter with an occasional chuckle, and let's move on to the next sketch.
Okay. And that next sketch is a commercial for fake cocaine.
Yeah. Surprisingly, I saw that this was not directed by Dave McGarry, the sort of the good neighbor triple play of Beck and Kyle Mooney. It was directed by Rhys Thomas. So probably not sort of a good neighbor sketch, even though Beck Bennett and Kyle both had a lot to do with this. I thought this was a really fun idea that went on probably 30% too long. I think it's just the idea of a fake cocaine to hide a smelly poop was such a fun idea and silly. The heightening of it, I felt like was just like, okay. But it was cute. It was a cute idea.
Yeah, I think I was on board up until they got to the point where it's the fake poop spray. That I thought that was good to cover up the questions. And then when we got to like then the Leslie Jones adding in, I think that was probably a beat too long.
I very much agree. Yeah, it was a little bit long, but at least it was different and kind of like, I don't know where this is going. So I kind of like that.
Yeah, I did like Beck Bennett like questioning those people like, you don't have fake poop spray? I guess you guys don't know anything about cocaine. Like you guys are real squares.
Yeah, you know, that was very funny. I like that.
So yeah, I agree. It was definitely fun and interesting direction. And then speaking of fun, why don't we talk about some Demi Lovato? Is it Demi or Demi?
Who are you asking? Are you kidding me? I could be her grandfather. I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Hopefully James can answer this for us.
I mean, she's not a kid, Demi Lovato, right?
I don't know.
James, how do we pronounce her name?
I think it's Demi.
Demi Lovato. Yeah.
I do. It is a weird pattern that she started out on Barney and then Disney. We had Miley Cyrus, who was Hannah Montana, and The Weeknd, who was on Drake and Josh or something. I don't know. It seems like an odd child star power trio or whatever. But yeah, I will defer to James on what we all thought of Demi Lovato.
Yeah, well, you could have done this review because this one for me is, boy.
What didn't you like about it?
I think this is probably just a taste thing, but I'm not a fan of kind of the over singing rock singer type, the, you know, Our Lady Peace style. I mean, if there are any old Canadians in the audience, then did Alana Miles, is Black Velvet a classic rock staple in the U.S., or is that just in Canada?
I hear it's the most romantic song in the 90s.
I was getting a real kind of Black Velvet vibe from this. Also, this has become a bit of a trend on Saturday Night Live, but I'm not a fan of the basically playing two songs where it's not really a medley. You're just playing a chunk of a song and then there's a pause and then suddenly you're playing a different song. So she did that with the first song. And I mean, I'm not talking about Prince, who can play for 9 minutes and play, you know, six different songs. He's Prince. So Cool for the Summer was the first sort of third of the first performance. I guess it's been a summer hit-ish for Demi. And then Confident, which is her new single. So I guess they just wanted her to play the hit, but she wanted to debut the single, and they were sort of in the same vibe, so they just mashed them together with a pause. Also, I thought for being kind of a rock singer, I thought it was weird that she didn't... There isn't really a lot of guitar in her band, and so the whole thing was just a lot of horns and drums to me, the first song. And she's... strong enough singer, but this couldn't be further from my taste.
What about the follow-up performance?
So I felt bad because I was thinking not nice things about the first song, and I thought, okay, I gotta like try and be open-minded about this. And I saw the piano and I thought, okay, you know, this is probably gonna be good. We're gonna get a nice ballad. Like, I think she's a pretty strong singer, it seems. I'm more likely to like this. And then it turned into this rock vocal halfway through where she's just screaming some more. And except this time with a piano, I don't know. Okay. I was out on Stone Cold, which is the name of the second song.
Yeah. Now, when the Donald Trump episode comes on, who is the musical guest?
Sia, who's had a few memorable Saturday Night Live moments.
Yes.
So I'm excited for her to come back. And also, I presume it means that there's some new Sia music coming. The sort of trend these days is to just not announce a record or announce it, you know, the week it's coming out. So I don't actually know of a new Sia record, but if she's coming on, so it's been a couple of years, I think, since her last one. So she's about due, and if she's coming on SNL, that probably means new music before the end of the year. So that's good for Sia fans.
Man, how surreal!
Maybe she'll have a new look, a new way to mask her stage fright.
Maybe
instead of just the hair dome from last time.
Yeah, we need to evolve that. We need to mix that up. Yeah.
Maybe she can get like the Donald Trump hair for the next episode.
Oh, that'd be a good look.
Ladies and gentlemen, see ya. It'll be great. It's going to be very surreal. The whole thing will be very surreal in a couple of weeks. Well, what's the date on that? Was it November 13th or November 4th?
The 7th, I think.
November 7th. Yeah, we're 1 week off and then we're back, oh boy, with Trump and Sia. Yeah.
All right, more on that to come. All right, James, thank you so much. You can follow James on Twitter. He's at Exclaim Editor.
Thanks, guys.
How do the Raptors do tonight?
They won. They beat the Cavaliers, but it's only the preseason. I'm a little more concerned about the Blue Jays at this point.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they dug out of this hole in a 5-game series last round. So
it's true.
They're used to it. All right, James. Take care, buddy.
Thanks. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye. All right. So, Rich, let's talk about weekend update and what was going on here, because we had some interesting visitors. Let's just talk overall weekend update.
Some funny jokes, a great return, a not so great return, and a continuing chemistry issue that I think is becoming a little bit of a problem that is going to have to be solved sooner rather than later.
Okay, what is that interesting chemistry issue?
I felt like there was another sort of piece where Jost and Che just aren't connecting, and I don't know what it is, or at least comedically they're not connecting. It's just the interplay between each other is just not feeling fun. It's feeling either the timing is off, or it doesn't feel real, or it actually feels like potentially, most likely not this, but that there is a degree of annoyance with each other. But whatever the answer is, I just wish we could get in there and do a little a team building exercise. Maybe they could fall back. Maybe they could build a stapler tree or something. But maybe get an executive coach come in and help the two guys sort of bond to get some more, at least on screen, chemistry and timing to sort of help them.
Do you think it's salvageable here in 1.2 seasons of working together?
I think possibly, yeah, I do. I think it's sort of finding that rhythm that is not the usual rhythm. You know, they both have such different individual rhythms, finding that what is going to work for them. I think it's going to be more trial and error, and I don't know how much they'll actually do off camera to sort of solve it, because I think SNL is a place that tends to not acknowledge a problem until somebody is actually fired. So I don't know how much it's openly being talked about. And again, they're both great and they're both doing really funny jokes, and this is a funny segment, but I think that could really would help a lot.
When they made the joke about the Democratic debate being like Vegas and saying that it's just a bunch of old white people who don't know when to quit when they're losing, again, I feel like that there's this narrative from SNL that Hillary is going to be the person to walk away from this, at least with the Democratic nomination. And it's one thing when Hillary Clinton is saying that, but I also feel like it's a little bit weird when SNL is editorializing that.
Well, I feel like that's more them just sort of broadly sort of stating what the general perception is, that, you know, and there was a sort of reference to Joe Biden in the opening that I thought was sort of important, that, you know, like how nervous Hillary is around that. I think the general feeling is that if he doesn't come into the race, that she is absolutely going to get the nomination. And that may not be true, but I do think that's the broader public perception of the standard SNL viewer, which is, like me, the person who's not paying a lot of attention.
Okay. So then let's talk about Tina Fey first. Talk about how Playboy is getting rid of the nudity.
Now, first, let me say that I feel this is very in line with Rich's rules of cameos, that Tina did the surprise in the 30 Rock bit for her to come back and be a correspondent, roll out the red carpet. I have no problem with this at all. It was great to see her doing this bit again, you know, these kinds of pieces again. I don't know that it was as great as some of the ones that I remember when she was there, mm-hmm. with her and Jimmy Fallon, or her and Amy Poehler. But there were definitely some funny lines to it. I like that she got silly and decided to do some poses, which meant nothing, but it was just a silly piece of business. So it was just great to see her back doing this.
Okay. Any highlights for it? I was very excited. I felt like I was a little underwhelmed with what she actually did.
Yeah, there was nothing that she said that I thought was necessarily hilarious. It was just fun to see her do it.
Yeah. All right. So then we had the return of Michael Che's neighbor, Willie.
Willie, I don't know what to say. They're not listening to me.
I actually feel like that I was not thrilled to see Willie, and I had extremely low expectations. I feel like this was one of the better ones that they did with him.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, of the Willies, this was probably the best. The pacing was better, and then certainly, having Tracy Morgan in it was it was something. Why not? I think we can leave Willie outside for a little while now. I don't think we need to see Willie that again that soon.
Yeah. What about the return of Woodrow?
Who is Woodrow? What was Woodrow? I'm blanking on it.
Is that the name of the the character that was from Tracy Morgan?
Oh, you know what? I don't remember. I don't, you know, you're probably right. I, you know what? I didn't remember him well enough to have an opinion. I think the williness of it all, I just so checked out that I like, I was sort of out of body with this and just like, oh, Willie. So I sort of have nothing I can comment on here.
Will we see Willie again in 2015?
I guess we will. I don't know why he is
Christmas Willie.
He is the Jebediah Atkinson of this season. Someone loves Willie. I know one person who doesn't, but apparently someone does. So yeah, I guess we'll probably see Willie again because he's doing well.
Okay, all right. So we'll see ultimately what happens. When Mark on the calendar. When do we see Riblet this season?
Oh, I'm thinking probably during the December block. I think it'll be a good December thing to go to. We'll probably see Drunk Uncle around the Thanksgiving Day episode, and then I could see Riblet coming like mid-December.
Okay. Keep your eyes peeled for that. All right, let's talk about this sketch, which I thought was pretty absurd, where we have like sort of like a Renaissance type town. Some sort of like medieval times type place where everybody's singing and dancing, and then Tracy Morgan is being Tracy Morgan.
Yeah, I hate to sort of do a double pump on this, but I got to give this another. Boy, what are we doing here? It was an odd sketch. I mean, it's the right post update sketch, I guess. It was hard not to tune this one out as well.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan is saying things to everybody. And then we have sort of like the left turn where Taron Killam's character confesses that he's dating the 18-year-old boy. But then it's like, he's cool with him and he's 18. Yeah. So it was okay. Well,
yeah.
But Tracy Morgan's still like, you shouldn't have told us that.
Yeah, I almost wondered if maybe this was like two different sketch ideas that wasn't working at the read through, and someone's like, what if you just sort of put them together and brought these characters into this piece and made something fun of it? I was looking forward to the sketch that followed this, whatever it was going to be.
Okay, all right, we don't have to spend too much time on that. Let's talk about this. Again, what are we calling these? Just pre-taped pieces?
Yeah, they're just pre-taped. They're just, they're not technically digital shorts. They're just sort of pre-taped.
Technically, we should call them like pre-recorded pieces because they're probably not on tape. But that being said, we had sort of what turned into, I thought, a very funny piece where it was Tracy Morgan, Taron Killam seemingly wanted to get into a fight with him over that he was trying to steal away Sashir Zameda, but it turned out he just wanted to dance.
Yeah, I don't know why this didn't follow Brian Fellows instead of the fake cocaine piece. I thought this was super fun, and this was Tracy Morgan at his best in the night. I mean, and a couple of the things we're going to bring up, but I thought this was really fun, Tracy Morgan. Taron was great in this. Everything about it, just the turns were not so dramatic that it lost me, but it clearly couldn't see where it was going. Very fun. I liked everything about it.
There was some really fun twists to it in terms of like that, you know, he doesn't want to fight, he wants to dance, and he wants to only dance with Taron, and you can't dip me when Sashir goes in to try to dance with him. Jay Farrow is really funny as sort of like the wingman in all of this, so I did really enjoy this as well.
Yeah, I feel like this was, I don't know if I would say the sketch of the night, because the cold open was clearly so great on so many levels, but this is one of my favorites. I thought this was a great, and as I said, I think my favorite Tracy Morgan of the night. So great job. I don't know who wrote it. We didn't get to see in Twitter, at least I didn't see. I missed it if it was there, sort of who wrote this piece, which is just really well done, really fun.
All right. What about Jackie Chan? Where are you?
Yo, where's Jackie Chan at right now? I will say this. This started out and I had the of a boy in the back of my throat. And then I sort of feel like as Tracy Morgan really for the live sketches sort of hit his stride, I think because he was talking to camera with the cue cards, he sort of was able to sort of play really well. The chemistry between him and Keenan was really good. So it was like I was waiting to hate it. And I don't know that I love this sketch, but I never disliked it, which sort of surprised me. They kind of kept, and then they started cutting away the Chris Tucker, I thought was not necessarily the best impression that we've seen Jay Farrow do. But then we started getting to like, you know, like just really bizarre impressions. And they just sort of kept turning and turning and turning that it was just like, okay, I walked away from this going, that actually was a amusing sketch. I think it would have been a great sort of end of the night sketch. And it really did make me go, as much as this is the most absurd sketch ever, I don't actually know what happened to Jackie Chan.
Yeah. I'm just trying to look up right now. Was Keenan ever castmates with Tracy Morgan at SNL?
Oh, that's a good question. We should be able to figure that out.
So Keenan came on, I believe, in 2003.
And that's when he would have left. So no, they probably did not overlap.
Yeah. In my mind, I was thinking that, because Tracy Morgan left SNL to do 30 Rock, which started in 2006. But I forgot that Tracy Morgan had the Tracy Morgan Show on NBC, which was probably, but he was right there sort of passing in the night.
Yes. Yeah. So it sounds like they did. Yeah, I don't think they did. And they may have brought on Keenan, especially back in the early 2000s when we had very little diversity. It could have been like, oh, we need a new black male performer. He's the young Keenan. Exactly.
The young Tracy.
Young Tracy, yeah.
Then I did feel like this sketch started to pick up when they started going to, like, once they got past Chris Tucker, and then they started like, hey, Chuck Norris, what do you think? Like, Steven Seagal, what about you?
Thank you for having Bobby allowed him to be in the episode. And that's just him. I thought that was really funny. I thought that was a really fun. And was it young Osama bin Laden or something that Pete Davidson was doing? I don't even think
they said it was young Osama bin Laden. Was it?
It was young someone. It was either.
Osama bin Laden. I didn't catch that. And then. I really liked when they got to Leslie Jones also, who saw him in like 1997.
Yeah, exactly.
And they had like the files. Like, okay.
Yeah. I will say here, one thing I would say about the episode, I was surprised we didn't see more of Tracy Morgan and Leslie Jones together. Anyone who happened to see Chris Rock's movie Top Five, they were in a big scene together, Tracy and Leslie, and very funny together. So I would have thought just because of the past history, we would have seen a little more of that. So, but we did not. Which is interesting. So,
what'd you think of that movie?
I didn't like it as much as most people did. I thought it was very talky. Whatever. I love Chris Rock as a comedian. I don't know if I love him as an actor.
Okay. And then finally, the last sketch was the Astronaut Jones reprisal.
Well, I'll give it to you, Rob. You called it. I said we're not going to see this sketch. And the very interesting. I mean, I like that. I mean, this was, I thought, a lot of production value setting up the what I understand to be the premise of The Martian with what's his name from Project Greenlight. So a lot of production value to get to the Astronaut Jones reveal. So I wonder if this was going to be an earlier sketch and then it just sort of didn't sort of play. And as much as Tracy Morgan, I keep doing that tonight, Tracy Morgan is clearly the star of the sketch. The truth is it was mostly pre-tape from 2000, the original Astronaut Jones. I mean, you could see, not that, you know, we all age. You could see sort of the clear difference between a very young, svelte, Tracy Morgan and the Tracy Morgan of today, which I get. I'm not casting any aspersions, but there actually was very little Tracy Morgan 2015 in this sketch.
Well, I mean, I think that is Astronaut Jones. I think that's basically all of them are like that. You know, that it's just like it's like the song is the whole thing.
Exactly. So I'm sure this part of it was Demi Lovato wanting to be in a sketch. You know, she was fine given what it was. I suspect that this sketch originally in the dress rehearsal came much earlier and it didn't land, but they decided to keep it for sort of the nostalgia's sake, and they moved it to the end.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine, the last sketch. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so totally. Yeah.
This is going to be interesting to discuss the goodbyes, an emotional night with Tracy Morgan. Rich, what were your takeaways? And did Tracy Morgan just mostly talk to the people he knew?
So he, I got to watch the whole thing on Hulu. Obviously, very emotional. He was very sweet, bringing up his new wife and baby, longtime girlfriend and baby, which is very rarely done. Obviously, it did make me laugh. That is, he's thanking everybody. He said Jane Karowski instead of accurately identifying his star as co-star of, I think, 9 years, Jane Krakowski. So that really made me laugh. Not as much as it made Tina Fey laugh that he screwed that up. That was really funny. He then gave obviously a very big hug to Tina Fey, and then actually gave a pretty big hug to Larry David, which was whatever, why not? And then I did see in the pieces that he did sort of walk around and he was sort of, I saw him hug clearly Leslie Jones, Michael Che, and then Taron Killam, and I think a couple other people. So it seemed like they all had sort of a good experience with him. Two things I will mention from the good nights I thought was very interesting. One, Michael Che seemed very frustrated during the goodbyes. You wouldn't have seen it if you saw it on TV, but if you see the extended cut, he seemed very legitimately annoyed by something. I couldn't possibly guess what, but I'm sure that was true. I don't think I missed that.
Was it that Colin Joe spoiled the Met game?
It could be.
He was wearing a Mets hat, I believe.
Oh, okay. Who knows? That could be, definitely. So that, and the other thing, Bobby Moynihan, very chummy with Demi Lovato. They were really clowning around, making each other laugh. And very interesting. It's like, Bobby, what's going on here, Bobby? Really having the time of his life. Spent a lot of time just yucking it up with Demi Lovato. So very odd.
Good for Bobby.
Yeah.
All right. So, Rich, of the three episodes we've seen so far, Tracy Morgan was the best episode?
I think so. I mean, I think so. Yeah. And I think a lot of it was sentimental, and why wouldn't it be? And the thing I'll say about this episode is I think that I liked that Tracy Morgan did not shy away from the sentimentality of he almost died. No one thought this day would ever come, and everyone was so excited. So it was such a warm episode. I thought this was just had a lot of great moments, a lot of fun. Probably bigger misses than some of the first two episodes, but a lot landed here. So yeah, I thought it was probably the strongest of the three.
Was there any disappointment for you in that's something that they didn't do that you were hoping they would have done?
No, I think I love that they did the whole 30 Rock thing. I think I would have I do kind of wish that had kind of connected a little bit more. That was probably my only sort of loss. Again, I don't think Tracy Morgan really had a lot of big characters. I think that's why we saw Astronaut Jones of all people. You know, he was a big force, a big presence on the show, but not because of his stable of iconic characters. So I think this sort of just played itself out really nicely.
All right. Well, let's just start to look ahead to this Donald Trump episode coming up here in 13 days.
Yeah. So, I mean, of course, politics aside, nobody gives a rat's patootie about my politics, nor does it have anything to do with this. And I don't think Saturday Night Live has a lot of politics around it, but very odd to me to ask a leading candidate for the president of the United States to host the show at this point seems very odd to me. I think obviously it will get great ratings. So who am I to tell them how to produce their show, especially when it comes to ratings? I will say for me, this feels like a miss on the booking. I don't think Donald Trump doing a cameo, totally get it. But presidential leading candidate hosting an entire show feels odd to me. And I would say that if we were talking about Hillary just as much as I would say this about Donald Trump.
So it seems odd to me from a couple of reasons. One, it was like a very public divorce between NBC Yes. Universal and Donald Trump, between the dismissal of Donald Trump as the host of The Apprentice. Doesn't that seem odd to you that he would then be back with NBC? I mean, it was only a couple of months ago that we were talking about that he was out as host of The Celebrity Apprentice and with all the Miss Universe stuff and talking about it like, you know, NBC. Yeah. Right, it's a terrible network, Brian Williams, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. The one thing I would say, the caveat to that is he has been doing the late night circuit and he has been on the Tonight Show. So they sort of have sort of carved out this late night window that he could sort of be on. I mean, again, for me personally, taking politics aside, Donald Trump in this run has said things about women, both specific women and women in general, and as things that I just am like, wow, I'm really surprised that SNL decided to book him given that stuff. Regardless of whether you're Democrat or Republican or conservative or liberal, some of the things he said, I find it hard to sort of laugh with him, given I feel like he's really out there. But let's see what SNL has up their sleeve. They've been doing this 41 years. They know what they're doing, so it'll be interesting to see what they do.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be definitely fun to watch and fun to talk about. I mean, is this just like, well, Hillary did a sketch, so how do I outdo Hillary? I have to host the show?
The thing that I think is really scary is I would suppose that somebody went to him and said, would you be interested? Because he's such a lightning rod. Now, if all of this was part of a fact that Donald Trump was planning on dropping out of the race for some reason, I don't follow politics enough to know if there's any indication of that or seeds being planted, then I would say, okay, I get that. But I don't know. This is going to be a weird one.
Has it gotten annoying that like Hillary and Donald Trump and, you know, insert whoever else, like have to be on every single late night talk show, have to be in every single comedy sketch? Like, it's almost like they, you know, try so hard to be part of the joke that I almost feel like it's a little bit annoying. Like, oh, just go away. Just let us have our comedy shows and you don't have to be on it all the time.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, I mean, you know, they need to get the kid, you know, the young male and female audience to vote. So obviously this has become a very important part of the presidential campaign structure now, you know, and yet, as we always see, you know, when, Al Gore went on Letterman after losing, he was so relaxed and so fun compared to his appearances on Letterman and Leno during the election. And you would think that they would really sort of learn from this, but it still feels so measured and so planned. And they're not comedians. They're not, you know, so I never look forward to them. I feel like they're obviously highly produced, highly manipulated. I think Trump is going to do whatever the heck Trump wants to do on Saturday Night Live. I think that's going to be an absolute wild card. I can't imagine what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, any shots you want to call in terms of something that they're going to do or not do?
My guess is that they will take shots at him and with his permission. So I think I could see a Celebrity Apprentice sketch where he is the one who gets fired from NBC. Other than that, I don't know if we'll see the return of the, the Donald Trump chicken wing, restaurant, which was a actually very funny sketch he did when he hosted before. So, I really be interesting to see sort of where it goes.
Yeah. When did he host before?
I'm going to take a quick look as we say this, 2003, maybe. I don't know if that sounds right to anybody, but I will tell you in 1 second. 2003.
Okay. All right. So like primo, like apprentice era of Donald Trump hosting. Do we see a Daryl Hammond Trump?
No, I don't think so. I think if we're going to see a Trump, we're going to see a Taron Killam Trump, because he's been anointed the Trump. And I think we will. I think we'll see Trump with Trump or some version of that, maybe in the monologue, maybe in the cold open. I would expect that.
Okay. I feel like we probably do a lot of like non-political stuff. I feel like we have him like doing like a lot of stuff like, hey, see how fun he is?
Yeah. I suspect we'll do a lot of Donald Trump playing Donald Trump doing something odd, as opposed to him playing the editor of a magazine in a sketch about the millennials. I think it'll be a lot of Trump being Trump and having fun with that.
Yeah. I do think he'll play a couple of characters. I do think that he'll do
some. Some definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to be very fun to check out. And hopefully Nicole will hold out on not going into labor before then. So,
I mean, come on. Where are your priorities, Rob? Come on.
We'll work. We'll try it. Nicole, actually, our first baby was born the weekend of the season 39 premiere. I remember watching the Tina Fey hosting SNL in the hospital that night, and then the baby was born the next day. So we'll see. We'll see. Ultimately, she has a track record of giving birth on a weekend with a new SNL.
There you go.
All right, Rich. Good stuff. You can follow Rich on Twitter. He's at RichTack. So thanks to Rich. Thank you to James Keast as well. Thanks to everybody who stayed up late with us on Sunday, or at least past 9 o'clock on the West Coast. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Knock on wood
for the Donald Trump episode. Anything else, Rich?
Nope. We're looking forward to seeing what comes next.
All right, you can subscribe to this podcast feed on iTunes. Go to postshowrecaps.com/SNL iTunes for the podcast feed. Looking forward to seeing your comments on postshowrecaps.com. And we'll talk to you again soon. Take care, everybody. Bye.
Bye-bye.